Hi, and welcome to another episode of The Advocacy Channel, a customer marketing podcast. I'm your host, Will Fraser, and this is our 23rd episode. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome Sarah Moody and Angela Wells to the show. Sarah has decades of expertise in marketing and is the founder and CEO of her own company that specializes in building executive customer marketing strategies for 100 million plus B2B enterprises. Meanwhile, Angela is the Senior Director of Customer Advocacy and Executive Programs at Splunk. She is also recognized as one of the top 100 CMA strategists. They join us today to introduce the concept of executive customer advocacy and share their top 5 tips to help companies excel in developing executive advocacy programs. We hope you enjoy the show. Welcome, Sarah. Welcome, Angela. I am so excited to have you on the show here today.
We are just as excited, Will.
Oh my gosh. This is probably the highlight of my day, Will and Angela. So yeah, let's do this. I'm excited to share all of our expertise with your audience. Thanks for having us.
Not a problem. We're really excited to have you here, of course. And I think we just jump right in today. I think we've got a lot to cover. I think it's going to be a really action-packed episode. So I just want to jump in before we go and kind of into the meat of the show. If we can just take a minute and maybe just understand a little bit about yourselves, your careers, your backgrounds. So maybe, Angela, we could start with you and just get a little bit of the Coles note of who you are and what you're up to.
Fantastic. Angela Wells, I am the head of customer advocacy and executive programs at Splunk. I've been in marketing and market research for the last 25 years. And the last 10 of that, I've really concentrated on customer advocacy and customer relationships. And that led me to what we're talking about today, working for about the last year and a half in executive programs and executive events, really helping companies connect with the senior executives at their most important customers.
And I'm Sarah Moody. I live here in San Francisco, and I have been in the customer marketing world for about 27 years. I started off in product marketing and then quickly fell in love with Voice of the Customer programs. And since about 2007, so maybe that's about 16 years, I've really focused on building executive customer programs for Fortune 500 tech companies, typically $500 million and above. I have my own company, and I've had the incredible opportunity for the last couple years to work with Angela and her CMO, Claire, building out their entire executive customer program strategy with my team. So thanks for having us.
Wonderful. So for our audience members who may not really understand this idea of executive customer advocacy, maybe you could kind of just help us understand what does that mean and why should that be important?
This is really about building connections at the highest level of your company with the highest levels at your customers. It's really making that C-suite connection because we know that those customers are incredibly important to the future of your business, and they need to feel as valued and important as they are.
We think of it in terms of like 3 buckets. One is, you know, we're all about growth. We all, you know, Gary, our CEO, all the leaders that we work with, it's about durable growth. And when we build these relationships with these executives in the top accounts, we're building relationships with the decision makers, the budget owners, the power holders, the executives in charge. So that's really going to protect our revenue, right? Number 2 is, you know, advocacy is all about ideally building a set of ambassadors for our brand so that we can really have the right reputation in the market as a leader, i.e., you know, Splunk, the leader in what we do. So it's all about our brand reputation as well. That's another important factor. And the third is that these executives are really smart and in the know about what's going on in the industry and how we can stay competitive in our space. So we really also look at them as our advisors to help with the competition, help us stay, you know, unique and differentiated and really continue to win in our market. So those are a few other reasons as well.
You know, it's a really interesting space because I think we've all heard a lot more maybe about the we'll call it the B2B advocate program that focuses on that kind of typical team member. And then here we are looking at those buying powers, like you said, those buying centers. Are there any like hard numbers or any kind of like concrete data we can bring to the effectiveness of these kind of approaches versus maybe the other approaches we've seen?
I'll just share one of our favorite papers is from Boston Consulting Group, and it came out this year. And there's three metrics that we tout all the time. You know, one is that the brands that are investing the executive customer experience, because this is all about the customer's experience, right? And how we interact with them on their journey, how we show up as a brand. And the companies that invest in executive customer experience have a 70% higher customer loyalty rate than their peers who don't, number one. Number two is they grow, the companies that invest in the space grow 190% faster than their peers over a three-year timeframe. And the third really powerful metric, especially if you think about the fact that, you know, we're all about working for our leadership team and our customers, is companies who do this have a 55% higher total shareholder return in terms of profitability than those companies who don't invest in this field. So there's some very powerful impacts to the bottom line. And the way Angela and I like think about these programs is everything has to come back to what does our CEO and the leadership team care about? How does this tie back to our corporate priorities? And this investment directly ties back to our corporate priorities.
Yes. And I would just say we really look, Will, at a cohort of high priority customers to really understand their behavior, understand them individually and what they need, what those companies need, but then also track those metrics about those targeted companies that we're really looking to build those executive connections. What happens next? Do they renew earlier, so ahead of schedule, not waiting for that contract to run out? Do they add more? Do they upsell and buy more? Do they serve as sales references for similar companies that are also considering Splunk for that kind of solution? So we've got a host of metrics, but as we've built this program and brought these pieces together, we can see the stronger relationships that are coming out of that are absolutely helping the top line.
Yeah, that's some amazingly powerful information there, I think, from a few different directions. And I'm really glad you have that available and that approach, because I feel like we're still learning in a large part of advocacy around that efficacy. So that's really, really exciting.
Well, and these are the customers, you know, these are the large accounts, you know, like any business goal metric will tell you, but those elite accounts that are such a large portion of your revenue, as they go, so much of your company goes. So they have to feel as valued, feel as valuable as they certainly are. And that's really how we design these elite programs, to really make sure they go, Sarah knows how much I love analogies. I always say these accounts that are in our program, they are the first at the buffet. They are the first to the best of what we have to offer through the experiences, the events, the research, the experts. These accounts are the first to get access to that because they really do deserve to be at the front of the line.
You know, I think that's interesting, because I think often we're trying to influence people far down the decision tree and far down that buyer's journey through, you know, those people who are maybe inside of our applications or inside of our services, you're consuming the most of it. So it's really, really exciting to get a chance to get access to those elite accounts, and not just the elite accounts, but the decision makers in those elite accounts, as you're talking about here, and absolutely, you know, making sure that we take care of them the best we can. Now, I think in concept, in theory, this all sounds great, but you know, I know you recently did a talk at the Customer Marketing Alliance Summit and had some kind of key, more tactical things that I think can really help people start to understand how to succeed in this space, and maybe you can kind of help us walk through some of those points.
Yeah, we'd be happy to. The first one is content is king. That's a kind of simplified expression that you've heard, but what it means in 2024 is not, oh, we need another white paper or ebook for that. No executives ever told me, oh, I wish I just had a white paper on that. But what we mean by content is king is you have to design that experience and that interaction with the customer so that you earn the customer's time. So if that's, you know, I fully believe, and I came from a very large tech company before coming to Splunk, we used to be able to plan executive events at our CEO's exclusive venues, you know, a place outside Palm Desert, you know, a place on a Hawaiian island where just the venue was enough and it was cool and it got the C-level customer there. But now they really want to understand, what's the program? Who else is going to be in the room? What are they going to be talking about? What experts are going to be participating? And it's got to be a program that is worth their time, where they're going to learn something, or they're going to make a connection, or they're going to get early access to something that they're going to say, wow, I really am going to participate in that, or I really am going to read that, or I am going to make time for that call or that virtual meeting. So we really look at not just, is it a cool venue? I mean, you know, everybody likes to go to the Formula One race, sure. But what is the programming around that Formula One race that is going to help add value to that executive's experience?
Just to kind of add to that, you know, one of the favorite things that we love to hear from these executives when they leave our advisory board meeting or whatever was like, that was such a good use of my time. And I had no idea about X. Like, we want to make sure every one of our executive customers leaves our programming smarter than when they arrived, number one. And we also, which is a great kind of key number two, is that we have curated such a high-end group of executives that they are building out their Rolodex and their networking and they're learning from the smartest minds in the industry. And so key number two is enabling influential connections. So really thinking through all the personas that all come back to our corporate priorities and who we are as a company and who we're going after. For us, it's the CISO and the CIO and the CTO. And it's for our top accounts. So really making sure that we have peers and only peers at our executive advisory board, for example, at the Formula One event. It's only peers. And it's diverse peers from all backgrounds. But yeah, like always forward thinking and being innovative. And that who's there is a key as to why these executives will keep showing up to all of your programming throughout the year. And they will go to other programs that you're offering to them throughout the year because they feel that it is such a good use of their time. What we're doing is so aligned to their mission as a CISO, for example, and they're with their peers and they truly feel like it's their peers. And it's, you know, Angela and I have talked so many times about, like, you know, one of our favorite account executives who, you know, would love to put forward like someone who's less than a C-level title and that they're a C-level title equivalent at another company. But, you know, we all know that if we do that, Angela's got this great analogy. If we bring in the wrong titles into our programming, it's like adding a little too much tonic to our cocktail. You're just going to dilute the meeting. You're going to dilute the program and you're going to dilute the cocktail. So just stay in that belief that quality is really important. Quality of content, quality of the executives. That is a huge part of the success.
Well, just if I could give a tip to listeners who are interested in this topic, there's a wonderful book that helped me immensely as I was thinking about customer events. It's called The Art of the Gathering, How We Meet and Why It Matters by Priya Parker. So any of you listeners that want to know more about how you design a program to get the right people talking about the right content so that they always want to come back, that's the book to read. It's includes executive events, but it's also if you're planning a dinner party at your own house on a Saturday night.
Wonderful. You know, you're talking kind of about that quality of the attendee and that quality of the content. And I know we're using kind of title as a filter here, but do we look beyond, you know, that title? Is anyone of the right title in the industry going to get an invite or how do we kind of, do we go deeper than that in this process?
Yeah. Like just let's say an executive advisory board program, we're going to have an internal set of criteria that we all agree on internally, including our CEO, who's the executive sponsor of the advisory board, our CRO, who's going to, you know, help us with all the nominations. And examples of criteria that we look at are, number one, what's their role and responsibility? Number two is, you know, are they a thought leader, like publishing papers and getting on committees and kind of being out there as a forward thinker, especially if they're a CISO out in the industry? Number three is, another example is, and I did this at Palo Alto Networks, is we built a board of advocates, people that weren't hugely fans, and then even some people that like were definitely not fans, but were still invested in our company. And so it's important to have a mixture of like folks that are like not fully invested fans to kind of push us and help us grow.
Answering your question, Will, if it's not exactly the title, I mean, certainly we've talked a lot about C-level as those titles, but it's really about their responsibility, because those titles, if that's across a government organization or in some of our customers abroad, they may not have a C-level in their title, but they have a lot of responsibility. And at some of these very large brands we work with, they may have multiple C-levels of that same job, but working on different business units. And we want to welcome all of them into our program, because those are all relationships that if we can get those senior people at our customer connected with our senior executives, that will pay off for a very long time coming. I mean, we really try to approach those conversations our executives have with our customer executives as if we are hopefully and ideally going to stay connected for years, how would you get to know that person versus if you thought of it incorrectly as just a transaction or just an event or just, you know, this event before the Formula One race or something, you know, as a standoff. The events are just a way to keep advancing the ongoing relationship with a senior customer executive.
Yeah. And Jeffrey Moore, who wrote Crossing the Chasm, as well as many, many other books, he's got a saying that I've literally had in my mind every day for probably the last like 13 years. And it's that, you know, us tech vendors, like we need to think of ourselves as skilled courtiers that build these relationships, nurture these relationships, and only then can we leverage these relationships. And it's a journey. He's big on it's a journey that happens over time. Just like think about, you know, your best friend or your partner, right? Like that relationship took time to build. And, you know, we in the tech industry need to have the same mindset when we think about these executives in our most important accounts. Well, all customers in general, I mean, across the board for customers. Yeah.
So maybe jumping on that, I know in the beginning here, we mentioned a stat around growth rates over 3 years. I know we'll kind of jump into the next key point here in a second, but, you know, what kind of time frame? Let's say I've gone to my CEO and I've pitched this idea of executive advocacy and he's like, great, we need to hit sales targets next quarter. Let's get after it. What's a realistic timeline that I need to be talking to that leadership? What do I need to be telling her we're going to be doing? We're going to need to make this work.
This is not a one-hit wonder investment. This should not be done for what are we going to deliver this pipeline, you know, this quarter towards the pipeline. There are programs for that that can do that kind of stimulation, close the deal. You know, a lot of that involves discounts or incentives or things like that. This is really about longer term relationships. These are usually in the tech industry, these are multi-year licenses, multi-year deals. And so you're trying to keep that relationship, healthy and thriving and ready for upsell of other things or early renewals as it goes. But if you just focus on that short term, you know, hit the gas on the revenue, it's just going to be a short-term solution for you. It won't be that sustained relationship. And it's going to be more like the bat phone when there's trouble than it is the ongoing, and as Sarah said, like seeing the trends and commenting on who those, you know, kind of movers and shakers are in the space, who the thought leaders are that are respected. It's really about a relationship, not a current contract, not a current, you know, what's our sales quota and are we going to hit it?
Yeah, I would say too, Will, what Angela and I have seen is that we have seen that the accounts that we put into these programs, you know, say we measure the ARR like 1 year out compared to the accounts that are not in these types of programs, you know, we have seen double digit increases in ARR in the accounts that are in these programs, 10, 20, 30% more ARR in these accounts in 12 months than accounts that are not in these programs.
Interesting. I mean, 12 months is still a pretty short term time. I mean, realistically, like, sure, if you're, you know, early days, maybe that's too long, but for many companies, you know, 12 months is still within like this annual planning cycle and still something that, you know, hopefully you can get that support for. If you can start to produce that kind of results that quickly, I think, you know, that'd be a pretty exciting initiative.
Totally. Yeah. In combination with what Angela is saying, there's some short, quicker fixes like a CISO dinner roundtable, for example, that can really impact pipeline in a much shorter time frame. So, you know, you build out a menu of different growth programs that are like levers over time to drive durable growth for the business.
Makes sense. What's the next big, you know, key takeaway? You know, we've talked about content and enabling those good connections, but what do you think is the next big piece people need?
Our next bit of advice is to be where these senior executives are. So really looking at what are the, you know, watering holes that they use now, what are the Slack channels that they're in, or the recommended customer events that they go to, those kind of C-level exclusive invite only roundtables, or those big third party conferences that, you know, the executives may go and they may bring a number of their team members. We know that it's increasingly expensive each year. So this isn't the bargain way to do it. But pairing with those top industry events to plan exclusive programming has really been a way to get a kind of captive audience for your message and your program. So one of the things Sarah and I worked on together was at the RSA conference, a large security conference that's really important to Splunk and our customers. We held an exclusive CXO dinner with some really well-respected industry leaders at a very exclusive members-only club. So it's not just a place that they could have, you know, booked on OpenTable or Yelp by themselves. But where we really thought about that content and who was in the room, and we had, you know, a set exclusive room, and we could have filled that two or three times over. There was so much interest. So it's not inexpensive, but it is key that these executives have gone somewhere. They're out of their, you know, kind of day in, day out activity, and you can get a spot on their dance card to really build that connection.
So, you know, we're talking kind of about some premium and exclusive activities here, and we're mentioning that, you know, they're not necessarily the cheapest of activities. While I think, you know, we're talking to business to business tech companies here, is there a scale of business where this starts to make sense, or is there a average contract value where this starts to make sense, or do you think this works kind of across a bigger spectrum?
What I've seen over time is companies that are at about $100 million and above, and say they've got, you know, I don't know, between 500 and 1,000 customers, that is enough scale where they can start putting in a program like this. And maybe the first step of the executive program is like an executive advisory board, right? Because that's going to be a program that's really going to help the leadership team drive corporate strategy. And then like a phase two could be like, you know, maybe when the company gets to $250 or $500 million, phase two could be rolling out like an executive sponsor program, which is where, you know, we take, you know, our executives, say our executives at Splunk, and we map them with executives in our top, you know, 35 accounts. So you can slowly over time, as you get bigger, start rolling out different programs to kind of complete your overall executive customer engagement strategy. At Splunk, we call it our Platinum program. And we've got, I don't know, Angelo, 12 different programs as a part of it.
Yes, that we've pulled together. And I just would think, Will, that for any B2B company, this kind of approach is going to be relevant because you're going to have a small number, a single digit percentage of your customers that are a whopping double digit percent of your revenue. And so really understanding who your most important customers are and making sure they know who to call as the bat phone when there's trouble, but also who to call when they're just, you know, sorting through something and they're planning a strategy, or, you know, they've got, we're early in the new year, they've got new plans that they're rolling out. And how can your company be seen as a partner to them, not just a vendor? So I really think it works at many, many businesses. I used to work at a market research firm of about 50 million, and we knew exactly who our top five customers were, and we were connecting with them every opportunity we got to make them feel as important as they were. And that's what it's really about, that whole notion of how are you making your customers feel? Are you making them feel like you only want their call when they're in trouble? Or are you making them feel like you really want to get to know them?
Right. Like, oh, there's that tech vendor calling me. Must be the end of the quarter, right?
Exactly. They must be having trouble hitting their pipeline goals. So they're calling me. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We all know you get more speeding tickets at the end of the month, right?
Exactly.
I think that all makes a ton of sense there. And thanks for kind of clarifying my little off-topic conversation there, off-topic question. But you know, I totally appreciate the point here of being where they are. I mean, I think it's kind of like, you know, when you want to catch fish where the fish are. It kind of makes a lot of sense, but it can be a little bit. I don't know, maybe we don't make it easy on people always enough, right? We can end up trying to build our own things and thinking we're super special instead of just trying to figure out where they are already and making it easy for them.
Yeah, so key number three is being present where these executives are at these industry events. And one of the kind of next things to think about, key number four, is how are you going to start building all of these relationships, right? So, for example, at Splunk, you know, we had so many amazing relationships with all these practitioners. And then we, you know, very strategically thought about, okay, now we're going to start building these executive relationships. And the key is actually you have to leverage everyone's Rolodex. So everyone in your C-suite, CEO, everybody, all, you know, your CTOs in the field, all the folks who know all the humans, your CISO, your job is to leverage those Rolodexes, including your board's Rolodexes, including your initial venture capital funders' Rolodexes. I even remember when I was working with Greylock, this venture capital firm, we hired Heidrick & Struggles, and they helped us start building out these relationships in our top accounts because they had the relationship. So Angela talked earlier about, you know, these executives in your top accounts could literally get invites to breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? Every single day of the week. But if they're getting invites from humans that they have no idea who they are they going to want to come and have breakfast, lunch, or dinner with you? Probably not. So how do you leverage Rolodexes? You go to LinkedIn and start, you know, stalking your CEOs, you know, all of their connections on LinkedIn. You do the same with your board members. It's like a sales play, but it's a build out your, you know, your C-level connection play. So it's all about leveraging Rolodexes. And so LinkedIn, and then we also use, is it Boardroom Insiders, Angela? That's another one, right?
Yeah, that's a solution we use regularly. But in 2024, this is really about, just like you do right now in a one-to-one basis, when there's someone you want to get to know, you look to who do you know in common. And so we really look at, of that elite group of accounts, who are the key people, the individuals that we want to get to know at those accounts, and how do we have any way into them through someone at Splunk or through another one of our customers, so that we're really making that connection in a person-to-person way, not a heaven help us, you know, automated email that looks like it comes from someone when we all are kind of on to all of those tricks. And so Boardroom Insiders is a good one because it gives you a bio on that person. And so you find out where have they spoken recently? What are topics they like? What are hobbies they have? I mean, when you really are trying to get to know an executive as a person, you really want to know more than just that LinkedIn, where did they go to school and what's their title now and what do they do? But where are they speaking? What topics are they speaking about? What are their hobbies? What are their interests? So that you can really get to know them and find a way in. And so we use that extensively when we're planning our executive sponsor program, where we're serving as like a matchmaker to connect a senior executive at Splunk with a senior executive at that customer to really understand where did they go to school? What are their hobbies? Where are they based? All these different criteria, all these different anecdotes and details about people where we can find that connection of someone on the Splunk side who can stay connected with that customer over a long period of time.
And a big part of our job on Angela's team is also looking at our company culture, right? And really helping our field as well as our executives, you know, understand this is a mindset shift. This is about building relationships. This is about thinking really creatively. This is about a long-term play. And so that's a big part too, is culture.
This all, I think, makes a ton of sense to me. I guess the question that I come to is, I often struggle to get anyone with a C title or an executive title to get, you know, get the thing done that I want, let alone open up their Rolodex and introduce me to all of their contacts. Especially the board and the VCs, how have you found, making that happen? And is there a compelling argument that, that you find works the best when you're trying to get that to happen?
It's not at scale 50 at a time. It's not turn over to me all of your connections or spend the next 4 days sending these, 100 emails out to your connections. This is really much more targeted than that. We've got a list of those accounts where we really want to get to know the C-levels and we want to find out what's a way in to those individuals, those humans, as Sarah calls them, what's the human to human route into those people? So we're not going to our CISO saying, please connect us with every CISO you've ever met. We're going to our CISO saying, hey, these are three accounts where we don't yet know the CISO, but you seem to have worked with them in the past. Can you help us with this? Or we send our executive, our CEO just spoke at the Aspen Institute and was in a room with a whole host of these executives that we wish we could know better. And he's right in the room with them. So he's making those connections. And now they are, not fresh leads because a number of them are a customer of ours in some way, but they are fresh connections. They are people he can reach out to in just these coming weeks to stay connected. And that's so it's much more targeted. I don't want to give the impression that it is we do this at scale overnight and hand us your Rolodex and we'll do all the hunting for you.
Yeah, this is we have a top 250 accounts program. Most tech companies have a top X strategic accounts program, and those are the accounts that we are working this play with.
Interesting. That makes sense. I mean, that makes sense, kind of common sense manner. But I just know that for when we're out there asking our executives to do things, the same reason we're trying to get access to other companies' executives, it's always good to understand those details.
Yeah. And also too, Will, but I mean, I think you've asked a great question. It's always going to come back to, we build programs that tie back to our corporate priorities. So when we keep saying we're doing this to drive durable growth, we're doing this to drive customer innovation, we're doing this to improve the customer experience, which are all, typical corporate priorities most tech companies have. Like when you keep tying it back to how we're impacting the business, like that's when it's like, oh, of course we're going to do this, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we've got four key points here. It's all seeming like really good information to me, but let's finish it off here. What is the last of the five key points that you think are really required to make these programs, effective?
The fifth one is about bringing these separate pieces that could be all be pieces of executive customer experience program together into one puzzle. And so for us at Splunk, that means I oversee our executive briefing center. So our executive in-person and virtual meetings that we do, our executive sponsor program, our executive councils, our executive program at our main annual conference. And then our whole series of CXO dinners and roundtables across the globe, working with our field marketing counterparts. And this is really about bringing all of those pieces together in one strategy so that we're making sure we are engaging all year long with those most important executives at those key accounts. It's really about, you know, we talked about making them the first at the buffet, but knowing what are the upcoming key industry dates where our events team will be, what are the upcoming research reports and papers that our content team is putting out, what are the webinars that we can host and exclusively invite people to the virtual meetings so that we're connecting with these same individuals over time, not a one-hit wonder, but a constant symphony of music, a symphony of ways we can interact with them.
That sounds easier said than done. That sounds quite challenging.
That's why I've tried to bring all of that together in my executive programs team. We've created an executive customer experience team specifically to manage these programs, to always keep an eye on those top accounts. And so we track as a quarterly metric in that quarter and year to date, what percent of those target accounts have we engaged with through one of these programs every quarter and year to date. So we average that we connect with about 70% of those accounts on a quarterly basis, and cumulatively we're up to about 94%.
Which is fantastic.
Yes, which takes a whole lot of people working together.
Fantastic. But Will, here's where most tech companies are. Here's where we were 15 months ago. You know, Claire was like, hey, Angela and Sarah, there is executive programming in every one of the functional teams across this company. There are six different teams doing the exact same thing. And so just think about that, what that means to the, to the executive and our top accounts in terms of the experience, as well as efficiencies, across the company. And so exactly what we've done is everything is now rolled up under Angela. So everyone's got a, really clear role and responsibility, really clear KPIs that tie back to our corporate priorities. A few other, KPIs or metrics that we track are, we've got these top accounts. And as we said, in some of them, we might have had one executive that we knew, or we had some white space. And so we're tracking over time how many relationships we're building. Ideally, we want to know the CIO, the CTO, the CISO, and, a few other folks in each of these top accounts, right? So we're also tracking how deep we're building out relationships in these top accounts, number one. And also, two, in sister accounts. So for example, Comcast is, Comcast could be a client, but you also then want to build out relationships with our sister company, NBC Universal, right? So you want to get a network of C-level relationships, both inside of your top accounts, as well as in the sister companies in these top accounts. Yeah. And then the other one that we track is what Angela was talking about, is just, having them show up to events, having them be our advocates or brand ambassadors, get up on stage and speak, be with Gary at the Aspen Institute and, share the stage, whatever that looks like, is be another voice in the market, talking about the value of what we do.
Makes a lot of sense. We've covered a lot of different points here. And I think, we've taken people from the idea of, what even, is this executive advocacy program, to some really helpful pieces of advice on how to execute it. And what to expect as far as results and time and things like that, how to measure it. If you could only give one piece of advice, if each of you could only give one piece of advice to someone who's yet to start an executive advocacy program, what would that piece of advice be?
Here it is. Get your CEO as your executive champion and have the mindset every single day of, I work for my customers. I work for my C-suite. And this is a journey of building relationships over time. That's it.
Yeah. And all of that I agree with. I am nodding along. I would just add that it's really fundamentally designing your program so that it's worth your customer's time. So realize how many vendors are just like you that want their time, want them to do something for you. But how do you make it worth their time where they think that what you have planned is going to impart value to them? They're going to come away learning something or making a connection they didn't have, so that not only do they come that first time, but they come back and they come back again and they come back again, so that you stay really connected. I just think that whole mindset, and Sarah talked about that mindset shift of, if you really want to build a relationship with these customers, you will interact with them in a way where they feel that, versus we kind of joked about, but like, if you're just calling them when the contract's up for renewal, they're going to see that for what it is, just like you do about the vendors right. Who do that for you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you both very much. I think those are both great summary pieces of advice here. And I think we've covered a lot. And I know our listeners will be really happy for this episode. So before we say goodbye, though, I do want to just get a chance. Where can people find you? How can they best connect if they want to keep this conversation going with you?
For me, I can be reached at Sarah L. Moody on LinkedIn.
Wonderful. Angela?
Yeah. And I'm Angela Wells on LinkedIn, or at Ange W. Wells on Twitter.
Perfect. Well, once again, thank you both very much. Thank you very much, Angela. Thank you very much, Sarah. Thank you so much for your time and your insights and your thoughts here. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. And I just look forward to kind of checking in and learning more about this space.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Advocacy Channel. Join us next time as we bring on more expert guests like Sarah and Angela. If you like what you heard and would like to help support the Advocacy Channel, please review, rate, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about customer marketing, head over to the Sasquatch blog or follow us on LinkedIn. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to create powerful customer marketing programs that'll help you better activate, engage, and retain your customers throughout their entire journey, head over to sasquatch.com through the link in this episode's description and learn more about a referral, loyalty, and rewards platform. Well, that wraps up another great episode of the Advocacy Channel. We'll see you real soon.